Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Hallelujah. Good evening. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, I want to just share something briefly with us as we pray. Amen. And I'm speaking on praying based on the finished works of Christ. Hallelujah. How many of you here have prayed and asked God to do something in your life? Is there anybody who has prayed here and asked the Lord to do something? Amen. Now, when we pray, we often pray that God will do something. Isn't it so? Our prayer is with an expectation that Jesus will do. Isn't it? Yes. But, you see, if those prayers are very sincere, but sometimes they can be sincerely wrong. Because the problem with praying that God will do is that there is an assumption that God has not done. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you are praying that God will do something, it is because there's an assumption that he has not done, isn't it? Amen. And so therefore your prayer now is that God is going to do something in your future. Hallelujah. Whether that future is in the next 5 minutes, in the next 1 hour, in the next 1 week, in the next 1 month, in the next 1 year, you are desiring. In fact, we have been taught to pray and to give a date. I have taught it that when you are praying, you should be specific. So sometimes the specificity is to time. So maybe I'm trusting God for something, you know, in April. I can be praying and say, Lord, by 1st of April. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And while our intentions are good, many times those prayers do not actually line up with available provisions, with the available provisions that Christ has made for you. I want you to listen to me. It's a brief teaching, but I want you to get what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to get. Amen. Our intentions are right. Praise God. In fact, sometimes, let's assume that you are trusting God for admission, and admission is in September. Is that right? It doesn't make common sense to ask for admission right now, because the admission is in September, isn't it? So even if you pray and you have a note of victory in your spirit, when you are telling somebody about it, what are you going to say? I'm trusting God that by September, isn't it? But tonight, I want us to briefly interrogate the Word of God and see the position of God when it comes to God doing anything in our lives. Hallelujah. It is important that in our relationship with the Lord, that we see God, or we see what God does, in an accurate way. Because if you see it in an accurate way or in an accurate manner, it changes your approach to dealing with him, and it changes your relationship in working with him. And that is that when you see a child that is, school's just resumed, right? I mean, secondary, primary, nursery, right? Hallelujah. Is there any of you here that have children that your child went to see you and to confirm from you if they will be attending school when the school resumes? Is there anyone like that? Your son or your daughter went to see you to confirm. I just want to confirm, when they resume school, am I going to be attending school? Is there any child that went to do that? Why has the child not gone to do that? Because there's a presumption in the heart of that child that you already have intended. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is anybody understanding that? You have the parent, whether you have paid the school fees or not. You know there are people who pay 1 year school fees. You know there are parents like that. They will come. Sometimes, even when the school fees is unknown, they'll say, just give me something, an idea. So they pay for 1 year. You know? So the child has an assumption. And may the Lord grant unto you that reality. I said, may the Lord grant unto you that reality, and may the Lord settle that reality in your heart. Listen to me. There is a walk with God that you cannot have until you understand this reality. It is when you understand that there is a confidence in God that grows in you, that you know that God is not about to do anything, that God has finished everything. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's important that you understand that Christ, because we pray as though Christ is trying to finish the work. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? We pray as though Christ is still trying to finish the work. We do not understand that Christ has not only finished the work, but that Christ is the finished work himself. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I know that what I'm trying to teach you, somebody is trying to wrap his mind around what I'm trying to say. Let's go to the book of John chapter 11 verse 17. John chapter 11 verse 17. We're going to read to verse 27. Media. Then when Jesus came, he found out that the story of Lazarus, right? So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been laying in the grave for 4 days already. Amen? And sometimes it is our situation that makes us to believe that Jesus needs to do some work. And sometimes you can sense the tone of our prayer. If we pray almost as though we are trying to tell God what he does not know. And it looks as if by the information we are giving God, then God is so surprised to hear that this is what is happening in your life. And then God is now mustering all the resources and the forces he has in heaven so that he can get to work about your situation. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So when we pray as though we are bringing a very critical information to God that God is not aware of, and that God was not also prepared to deal with it. So now that we are now telling him, God has to begin to prepare. You know, God has to now begin to check how much does he have in his account, whether he can be able to meet up with what we have. Are you getting my point? And we are beginning to feel as if how God is about to check how much power does he have to see what he can do about your situation. And I don't blame anybody, because often we relate to God the way we relate to human beings. So if we are talking, we relate to God as if we are talking to our earthly father, who, when maybe a bill is sent from school, an unexpected bill, our father has already spent the last money he got from his last salary. Now he has to begin to go and borrow so that he can meet up with the demand that we're making. But you must understand that your heavenly father is not like that. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? He is the God. He's the one that has the cows on the thousand hills. You have to understand that he is the one that has treasure in hidden places. He is the one that has. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is the one that has unfathomable wealth. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Jesus came to the sisters of Lazarus. And when Jesus came, the Bible says Lazarus had been laid in the grave. Not only that he was dead, but he had already been laid in the grave for 4 days. Next verse. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 days, 15 furlongs off, And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, remember, this was the Martha that will not sit and listen to the word. So this is the effect of the absence of the word in a man's life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, in other words, if there was something you could have done, there was a time your power should have worked. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Hallelujah. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, I want you to look at something very interesting. I want you to look at the verse before this one. Look at what she said. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, look at the statement of Jesus. Next verse. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Look at her response. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Is anybody getting the contradiction? Was it not her that said, I know that even now? So you know that was a conversation in unbelief. She believed, but her belief was that Jesus could not do anything about that situation at that time. In other words, the power of Jesus was limited to when a person is alive. So when Jesus healed the people that were blind, when Jesus healed the people that were lame, was because the people were still alive. If they had died, there was nothing Jesus could have done about the situation. So in other words, Jesus should have come when they sent for him, because their faith was limited to his capacity to do something when somebody was still having breath in him. But now that this person has died, there's nothing that Jesus can do about the situation. Next verse. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. So what are we saying? Martha's faith was that God could do something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And what he could do was in the resurrection. He could not do something about the situation right now. And many times we pray that God will do something. In other words, God hasn't done yet. In other words, it is when we go to him in prayer that we actually bring that situation to his attention, and that actually God begins to think of what can I do with this situation now. Because as far as Martha was concerned, Jesus was like all the other people that came to comfort them. But not that Jesus came because there was something he could do about the situation. Are we understanding that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. I want you to begin to pray from a different perspective from today. From today, you will begin to pray differently than you have always prayed. And let me say this. When you begin to pray aright, one of the things that it begins to do is that it begins to recalibrate how you see God and begins to recalibrate your faith. Is anybody understand what I'm saying? That child that wakes up on the morning that school is resuming and quickly goes to wear his uniform, he thinks differently. His thinking is not that my father has not paid or I cannot make it. No, there is nothing like that. Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? That child has no iota of unbelief in his heart. He is not thinking. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is his father's business how he pays the fees.
Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It is his father's business how he sorts out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As far as he's concerned, my transportation is available. My feeding is available. My fees are available. My books are paid for. My uniform is paid for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only thing, my only contribution is to get ready and go to school. Now, I want you to look at this. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are what? Are what? Amen. I said we're reading from verse 17. From verse 17, please. From verse 17. Okay, 120. Sorry. 1 Corinthians, yes, you're correct. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. You're correct. For all the promises of God in Christ are what? They are what? They are what? They are what? They are ye. That if God made a promise in his word, are you hearing me? The day you pick that promise and bring it before God, God is not about to say, and did I say something like that? Oh, no, you are not hearing what I'm saying. That all the promises of God, when Christ came, it was fulfilled in him. So I said to you that Christ did not come to finish the work. That Christ is the finished work. So in other words, for all the promises of God, whatever God ever promised, are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever it is that God ever promised, if God ever promised you good health, when you come to Jesus, you are not about to confirm. See, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You are not coming to find out. And you are not coming to inform him so that a provision can be made for your healing. You are coming there as a done deal. The only assignment you are coming for is to receive that which has been done already. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm not about to be protected. I'm protected already. I'm not about to be healed. I'm healed already. Jesus said to Martha, if you believe, are you hearing me? Whoever that is dead, will, are you hearing what I'm saying? He shall rise again. He said, he didn't say there is resurrection and there is life. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Are you hearing me? He is not about to go and get you resurrection. He's not about to go and get you life. He is the resurrection and he is the life. So when you meet him, you are meeting a done deal. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here tonight? When, if you are hungry and you are going home and you call your wife and you say, is dinner ready? And you are, let's say you are at the airport and you say, is dinner ready? And she says, in 5 minutes, dinner will be ready. She is still preparing. Are you hearing me? But you know that from the airport to the city is 25 minutes drive. So you know that by the time you arrive there, you are not about to find out from her, is the dinner ready? The dinner is ready. I've come to announce something to you, that the dinner is ready. Jesus is not trying to make it happen. God is not trying to make your desire, that desire come to pass. He has done it already. So my approach to him is different. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? My approach is different. I am not approaching him hoping whether it will happen or it will not happen. That is why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 will say to you that he that comes to him must believe that he is. You're not hearing what I'm saying. He's not going to flip-flop on you. He's not going to, there's no maybe in the matter. But he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when I am seeking him, I am not seeking him with maybe or maybe not. I am seeking him knowing that when I approach him, there is a reward that I'm going to walk into. So I don't pray for God to provide. I pray to receive what he has provided. May your prayer life begin to take. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That is that, sir. What actually pleases God is not when I come to pray and say, Lord, do this in my life. What actually pleases God is when I approach God and I say, thank you for what you have done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? because you have to understand that he didn't do the work. He didn't do the work just with you in mind. He did the work beyond you in mind. So you must understand what it means to pray based on what? The finished works. He has done it already. So I don't approach him in prayer like somebody who is trying to do it. I approach him as someone who has done it. So when I go to him, I'm not trying to get him to do it. I'm trying to appropriate what he has done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't go to him as trying to get him to do what I'm desiring. I go to him as somebody who has done what I'm desiring from him. That is why even our spiritual warfare must change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start from verse 11. Colossians chapter 2. Let's begin from verse 11. Colossians chapter 2. In whom also ye are circumcised. In whom also ye are what? Circumcised. With the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Can I say something to you? Even sin, you are not trying to overcome it. If you understand it, you will stop the idea of struggling against it. In putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's why, let me tell you something. If you have ever overcome any sin in your life, if there is a sin, if you, for instance, you used to lie and then you stopped lying, you will discover that there was no record. How you arrived at stopping to lie was not because of an effort you made. You discover that you arrived there by a realization. Something happened to you one day. And are you understanding what I'm saying? My mentor said something. He said he was a believer in his university days, and that he used to smoke. He gossiped, used to smoke, and that he said he would carry cigarettes, and he would put it in his mouth. And he remember he would put the cigarette, and he's puffing, and he's saying, "I'm the righteousness of Christ." He said all he knows was that one day he woke up, and the very same that was an attraction to him, the desire for it died in him. Is anybody here? There is no sin you ever overcame as a result of how much effort you put in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Any sin that you overcame by effort, you have not finished overcoming it. It will rise up again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If there is a struggle in your life, are you hearing what I'm saying? Anyone that you had to struggle. So, I discovered it is not a product of discipline. It's a product of a reality that enters into your spirit. The day that reality enters into your spirit, are you hearing what I'm saying? It falls off you like sweat falls off your body. That is how it comes off. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of the spirit. Yes. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. Next verse. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having what? Forgiven. Having what? God is not trying to forgive you. He has already forgiven you. It is you that must accept that forgiveness. Let me say that again. I sense in my spirit I need to say it again. God is not trying to forgive you. God has forgiven you. Okay, let me say it again. God is not making effort to forgive you. God has forgiven you. Whatever it is that you are struggling with, I bring you good news tonight that you are forgiven. That you are forgiven. And you being dead in your sins, who is this person? We have passed this place now. Haven't we passed this place? Having forgiven you what? all trespasses. Next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having what? Spoilt. Tell your neighbor, spoilt. Spoilt. Having spoilt principalities and powers. That is why, listen to me, I am not engaging, there's no demon I'm engaging with. I'm not saying there's no spirit that is trying to waylay. I said I have no engagement with him. Why? Because he has already what? Spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So listen, even in spiritual warfare, are you hearing me? Look at all the weapons of our warfare. The armor of God. Look at the armor that has been given to us. There is no armor that is meant for any engagement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no armor that was given to you to engage Satan. Because there is no warfare. There's no battle to fight. There is a territory to maintain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every weapon that you are given is a defensive weapon. It is meant for maintenance, for sustenance, not for engagement. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So listen to me. You are not trusting God for that baby. You are not trying to get God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have the baby. Are you hearing me? Now, when you understand this, you will begin to understand the work of faith. It is the reason why you can wake up in the morning and look at your stomach and say, baby, how are you? Even though the baby is not there physically, you can talk. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So that your corresponding actions are based on a reality that is on the inside of you that you know. Is anybody hearing one? Is the reason why even though you don't have a car and you are walking, you can see yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can see yourself driving the latest G-Wagon. Even though it's not physical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is upon that reality that your confession now becomes true. So that when somebody says to you, how are you? Even though every symptom seems to be showing on you, you can say, I'm doing well. I'm doing well because I understand that Christ is the finished work. He has done it already. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? It's the reason why the one scripture says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Bible says, and we have hope that maketh not ashamed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that I can hope in what God has said because I will never be ashamed. There is an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure where the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's soul. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure where the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody understanding that? It is from that position that we pray. We are not praying for victory. We are praying from victory. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. We are not praying to succeed. We are praying from success. May from today, may the way you even plan change. I said, may you, from the way you plan ought to change. The way you organize ought to change. You're not organizing so that you can succeed. You are organizing because you have succeeded already. Let's rise to our feet tonight. We have an anchor that keeps the soul.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.